How are you, Rachel?
Good, Alex, how you going?
I'm very, very well. Now, usually we communicate quite a bit, but this week we've tried something different, and all I know is you're going to tell us something about llamas.
Llamas in Sydney. So I just thought it was a really interesting story because it seems like everybody's talking about social distancing, or more accurately, physical distancing at the moment. But how far should we actually be staying away from each other? So some advice is 1.5 meters, some is 2 meters. People in the old scale are saying 6 feet. But what does it actually all mean, and how quickly can we estimate how far we are away from other people if we're out on the street or we're at the supermarket? So a couple of guides have been put forward. The Kansas City Zoo has suggested keeping two capybaras, the world's largest rodent, between you and other people. And capybaras are super cute and they're really short, so they're actually a sensible solution for people who live in flats. But with so many buying restrictions across so many products during a pandemic, needing two of anything can be a little bit tricky. So, another suggestion that's been doing the rounds on social media has been keeping one llama between you and others. So, like the capybara measure, this seems to have started in the United States, in Colorado, where there is quite the llama-loving population, I've found. But is this achievable in Australia? Do we even have llamas in Sydney?
Yeah, I
So, I
mean,
was actually
I've
really
never seen
surprised to learn
I've
that we
never
do.
seen one. I've never seen a llama in real life, have you?
No, but they are around, and the idea actually of having llamas in Sydney goes back to 1803. So Governor Philip Gidley King thought that having llamas and their smaller cousins, the alpacas, they're both part of the camel family, and they both produce fleece. And he thought, being reasonably hardy animals, they'd be another promising addition to agriculture in New South Wales. Now, like all good government ideas, the idea languished for a little while, and it wasn't until actually 1853 when a British-born South American adventurer by the name of Charles Ledger pushed for their introduction into Australia and approached the governor of the day, Charles Fitzroy. Now, Ledger was supported by a Sydney-based businessman, Thomas Sutcliffe Moore, well known for wool, and he saw the potential of llamas and alpacas for the colonial textile industry. Now, this all sounds fabulous, but the reality was really very different. The first obstacle for Ledger was a ban on the exporting of these animals by the Peruvian government. And Ledger was also, by the 1850s, facing huge competition from other Australian entrepreneurs and importers. So by 1858, these animals were actually really big news in Sydney. So there are reports of the introduction of 150 llamas to the United States. And there are also enthusiastic endorsements of similar ventures for Australia. And as early as May, six beasts were soon to be received in South Australia. And then there was the purchase of 10 more in London. So alpacas and llamas had been smuggled out of Peru and into London by a Sydney merchant. And then this led to even more ambitious plans, and a public subscription was established to purchase the rest of the London herd as a gift for the colony of Victoria, which sounds odd, but I suppose llamas would make a lovely gift.
I
And
guess.
then there's the Sydney Morning Herald was so enthusiastic about Ledger and his efforts, and they report that after many years' unavailing exertion, we learn with great pleasure that the llama or alpaca is about to be introduced to Australia in numbers to assure their naturalisation, and their export from Peru has been jealously guarded by the government of that country. And jealous indeed. So our adventurer turned smuggler of camelids, Charles Ledger. So he started bringing the herd of llamas and alpacas together in 1853, procuring animals in Peru, but couldn't get them out of the country and straight to Australia. So he smuggled them over the border into Bolivia, and then he drove the herd overland into Argentina, and then across the Andes Mountains, as you do, into Chile.
Oh,
So
wow.
it took him until 1858 to actually bring them. into Sydney. And a lot of the animals didn't survive the arduous journey, but many of them did. So about 280 arrived in Sydney, late 1858, along with 12 men from South America who had joined Ledger on the voyage to look after the animals. And they were quite a sight. So you can imagine llamas are tall and quite gangly. Alpacas are a bit shorter and they produce more fleece, so they look a little bit closer to a sheep. But they are a strange animal. One newspaper said they are singularly pretty, but they are a double cross between a camel, an ostrich, a sheep, and a donkey. So they would have been quite a sight. And so they grazed on the domain here in Sydney, and people were encouraged to go down and say hello and have a little bit of a look at them. And Ledger ended up certainly honoured for his bravery, you know, schlepping these animals that, you know, obviously he can't fit 600 llamas in a suitcase, but he did what he could to walk them across South America and then bring them over to New South Wales. So they ended up going to Liverpool, where they stayed for about a year. And Ledger has one of the best job titles to ever appear on a business card. He was the government superintendent of alpacas.
No way.
And then they ended up going down to cooler climes because, you know, it was sort of thought that they should be in landscapes that sort of closely resembled where they were native to. So they ended up being pastured around Goulburn. Now, unfortunately, Ledger was not – he wasn't a dishonest man, but he wasn't very good with his paperwork. So he ended up being reimbursed for his endeavours, but the huge costs that he'd outlaid would never really pay off. And the herd was broken up in 1863, so just 10 years after he started curating these animals and bringing them all together. So little is known of these llamas after this. Some went to farmers, some went to zoos. A couple went to the Gladesville Mental Asylum as a curiosity. Sir Henry Parkes took some. He quite liked strange animals, so he was happy to have a couple of them. But the whole idea of entrenching llamas and the alpacas into colonial agriculture actually failed. And part of that was drought, part of it was mismanagement. And part two was there simply weren't the numbers of those animals imported sufficient to have proper breeding programs. So they were reintroduced into Australia in the 1980s, and they are more a hobby farm animal. They're never going to compete with sheep in this country, as was envisaged in the early 1800s. But in the age of social distancing, if you can get a handle on a llama, that is how far you need to stay away from everybody else.
If you can get a handle on a llama. Oh, Rachel, you never fail to disappoint.